Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that joy is not something we manufacture, but a gift that flows from you. Lord, as we open up your word this morning, help us see the beauty of your salvation and the nearness of the King that is to come. Lord, quiet our distractions. Seems like you've done that already this morning, Lord. Enlarge our vision and teach us what true lasting joy looks like. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, Jill, thank you so much for hooking us up with that. I know, hey, it's unique, but it's also kind of neat, right? You know, we're talking about joy, so there's no point in getting frustrated or upset that we don't have lights or whatever, you know, TVs to, now you're just going to have to stare at me while I read the scripture instead of the screen, right? No big deal. Let's be joyful about this. You know, I've once, I don't put them up anymore, but, you know, when I used to put up Christmas lights, now I just have one of those lasers that just, you have one laser that just blasts over your house instead of, you know, getting crazy and putting them up on the roof or whatever. But, you know, you put them up, you spend all this time, you know, half of them are blinking, the other half are not, you don't know what's going on. You kind of feel like, you know, who's that guy in that movie? Clark Griswold, right? Where you have all these lights and nothing seems to work. You get frustrated, but you're also kind of, you know, okay, well, you know, maybe I'm giving the neighbors a show of me just trying to figure out, like, what is going on? I can't do it. That's jolly, right? You might be jolly. And jolly is a feeling. Right? Jolly is a feeling, but when we talk about joy, joy is something far bigger. Jolly is a mood, and joy is a gift. It's a gift when even the lights of, you know, your Christmas lights flicker. You know, think of your life flickers. You know, we still have the capability to have joy. And joy was announced in Psalm 98 that we're going to go to today. You know, joy to the world, that last song that we sung, is not a suggestion for us to cheer up. Right? It's not a suggestion. It's a command rooted in news. Command rooted in news. It's the Lord has come. And the psalm that inspired the carol is Psalm 98. We're going to walk through that and kind of stand in Elizabeth's living room as she and Mary are talking. It's just going to be a wild ride. So let's just get into it. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up since we don't have a screen. To Psalm 98, we're going to go through the entire chapter there of Psalm 98. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has performed wonders. His right hand and holy arm have won him victory." So joy begins with God's action, right? His action. We sing because God has done something. He has performed wonders, right? Salvation is not our project. It is his victory, right? It is his victory. Let's go to verse 2. It says, "The Lord has made his victory known. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen our God's victory." So this isn't like private religion. It's God's saving work, and it's public, and it's global. This isn't something just stovepiped into a little thing. No, he did this for everybody, the entire world. Now, if our joy feels small, maybe we need to enlarge our Savior, right? So if our joy feels like this, You need to know that your Savior is huge. He's a big deal. So we need to enlarge our Savior. If we're not really feeling the joy, then start in verse 4. It says, "Let the whole earth shout to the Lord, be jubilant, shout for joy and sing." So basically, crank up the volume, crank it up, shout, be jubilant, sing, and instruments join the party. Be loud. Verse 5, sing to the Lord with the lyre and metalist song, sing with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout triumphantly in the presence of the Lord our King. And if you grew up in a quiet church, you might feel nervous, right? We're asking you to shout from the rooftops. Bible isn't nervous. You know why? Because joy raises the roof. Why? Because the King is here. The King is here. That should be enough to want to shout. Verse 7. Let the sea and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it, resound. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains shout together for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world righteously and people and the peoples fairly. So the rivers clap, the mountains shout, and the sea roars. So even nature understands the magnitude of this. The judge is coming, which is good news if you're somebody who longs for all the things that have kind of gone on in the world to be made right. Right? He is coming, and that's got to be exciting for you. Joy looks forward because the future belongs to a righteous King. That's so awesome. Now we're going to jump over to Luke chapter 1. This is where Mary hears the angel's announcement and then runs over to Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 39. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. So you had two women, one older, one younger, one newly pregnant by a miracle, one pregnant for a little while by a miracle. No palace, there's no spotlight, I mean, right? I mean, this is kind of weird how God is just making all this kind of work out, right? It's just an ordinary home with a whole lot of grace. Whole lot of grace. Now look at verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So John the Baptist began his ministry in utero, right? He began it right then. The Messiah's in the room, and her soul knew just how big that was. And she knew what kind of posture she needed to take. She had wonder, joy and humility. Now look at verse 44. For you see, when the sound of your greeting reaches my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill what he has spoken to her. So joy leaps where belief receives. Now joy is not like blind positivity, right? It's not blind positivity. It's a spirit-born gladness in the presence and promise of Jesus. Let me read that again. It is spirit-born gladness in the presence and promise of Jesus. And Peter later described this in 1 Peter 1:8, I don't have it with me here, but describes those who love Jesus, though they have not seen him, and rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, receiving the outcome of their faith, the salvation of their souls. You know, when you think of a doorbell, I mean, I'm sure most people have a doorbell, or, you know, you can even think of it as a knock. When you're expecting somebody to come to your house, right? Maybe it's a friend, a family member. Maybe it's a package that you're eagerly waiting for. And when they deliver it, they'll ring the doorbell maybe. you think about that, and you have the button for the doorbell on the outside of the house. You're maybe, you know, in the kitchen or the living room or whatever. Then you hear that doorbell. And you're like, oh, I'm so excited. And that was Mary's greeting. She's the one that hit the doorbell. And Elizabeth's heart heard the chime of that doorbell. And she was great. We're very, very excited. The presence of Jesus activates joy. Yes. So when we see, when we hear that doorbell, when Elizabeth heard the doorbell from Mary, knowing that Jesus, the Messiah, was with Mary, she was mind blown. She was excited. She had that presence. She knew, she felt this joy because she was in the presence of Jesus. Sometimes we wait for better news, and the best news is already at the door. John 1, verse 14 through 16 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed His glory, the glory as the one and the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So if you remember, Psalm 98 called for a new song because God acted. John then shows the action, and the Word took on skin, Jesus, and set up His tent among us. Glory, Jesus, became visible. Grace and truth became a person you could hug. Oh, yes. Verse 16 of John 1. "Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from His fullness." Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from His fullness. Let that soak in. We have all received. It doesn't say, this side of the room has received it, or just this side, or maybe just the middle. All have received grace upon grace. Joy isn't a, reservoir that we build. And it isn't some, just random man-made thing that we build. It's overflow from the fullness of Jesus. And His fullness does not run out. Amen to somebody. Please, when your cup is empty, the problem is not the source. It's not the source, right? If your cup is empty, it's not Jesus's fault. It's our connection with Him. That's where the problem is. We need to figure that out before we try anything else. Jesus says in John 15, verses 9 through 11, says, "As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you these things so that you may have my joy, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." So complete joy is borrowed from Jesus. He puts His joy in us as we remain in His love. You see, it's all Jesus. Can't do anything without Him. And Paul agrees in Galatians 5, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things." So joy is a fruit. It's not a furniture. It's not the chair that you're sitting in. It's not a vehicle that you drive. It is directly from God. You can't order it online. Everything you seemingly can order online these days. Joy is not one of them. Joy is not one of those things. Really, true joy, you really can only get to true joy with a relationship with Jesus. You might think that you have joy, that you're feeling this some sort of, joy. But I promise you, unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will not feel true, pure joy. So joy is not the denial of sorrow. In the Bible, that commands rejoicing includes a book called Lamentations. Psalmists cry rivers and still sing, and Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, as grieving, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet enriching many, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. Joy and sorrow can share a heart. Joy and sorrow can share a heart. Let me read that 2 Corinthians 6:10 one more time. As grieving, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet enriching many, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. That's where joy and sorrow meet, right? They're not mutually exclusive. Joy is not dependent on circumstances. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 says this. Though the fig tree does not bud and there is no fruit on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though the flocks disappear from the pen and there are no herds in the stalls, yet I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. So joy springs from salvation, not from a produce aisle. It springs from salvation. It springs from our relationship with Jesus Christ. Joy is a response to seeing and savoring Jesus. Seeing and savoring Jesus. When Mary enters Elizabeth's baby, what? Leaps for joy. When the Word became flesh, grace upon grace flows. When you see Jesus more clearly, joy learns new steps. And this is what we have when we have this relationship with Jesus. And it's not to say that everything in our life is always going to be, you know, hunky-dory, no big deal, no problems, no sorrow, no pain, no struggle. But when we have Jesus, it makes it that much easier to get through, to bear, because He holds those burdens for us. Joy is strength for the journey. The joy of the Lord is what? Your strength, Nehemiah 8. Not the joy of your personality or your plans. No, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We have to remember that. So how do we practice all this? First, we have to receive the King. Right? The carol says, let earth receive her King. And John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name. So joy begins at conversion. When we accept Jesus Christ, that's when joy starts. And if we haven't been, you know, if we haven't accepted that free gift, and we're not going to have this joy that we're talking about. And you know the joy that I'm referring to. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, even if you're kind of going through a valley right now, you still understand the joy that I'm referring to. Joy to the World also says, let every heart prepare him room. So making room is an act of faith. Joseph made room for obedience he did not fully understand, right? We think we've talked about this before, right? You know, when Mary becomes pregnant, and, you know, this angel comes to Joseph, and he's like, ew, this is kind of weird, right? But yet he still did everything out of obedience because he trusted. Let's create five quiet minutes just to read the gospel and pray. This is how we prepare him room. We confess sin that maybe we've been excusing. We simplify a schedule that maybe is kind of choking our time away from our quiet time with God. Practice gratitude. Gratitude is joy's language. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, that's my top three favorite verse, right? The other two are verses 16 and 17 of that same passage. I give thanks in all circumstances. Because this is my favorite verse, you've heard me speak on this a lot. I give thanks for everything. Like, honestly, I was super bummed when all the lights went out. It's like, man. I was up till 1 o'clock this morning getting the PowerPoint good to go, made the intro video, did all these things. So when the lights went out, I was like, man, I could have gone to bed at like 10. But I'm thankful because we don't have all the fancy stuff that we normally have on a Sunday, and we can just focus completely and solely on Jesus. It's really kind of cool. Maybe we should do this like once a month. Just have all the lights off. No computer. No video. Just have Jill play her beautiful music. I'll have to run that by Jill, but give thanks in all circumstances. You know, I can't remember the exact context of I read this actually just a couple days ago, but I know it was, I believe it was two women, maybe sisters, and they were kind of hiding Jews during the war, right? And they ended up getting caught, and they were put in a concentration camp. And they were put in cell block 28. That's the one thing that I remember very vividly, was cell block 28 or cell 28. And this particular cell was just infested with fleas. It was disgusting. And you know, one of the sisters was like, you know, we need to give thanks. We need to rejoice always. We need to give thanks for all of these things that we have. Give thanks to the guards that are, you know, protecting the place, whatever. And, you know, the other sister's like, okay, I can get behind all that. But I'm not rejoicing for the fleas. That's where I'm going to have to draw the line. And then her sister's like, no, you have to rejoice for everything. You need to give thanks in all circumstances. So kind of begrudgingly, she's like, okay, whatever. Let's give thanks for the fleas, right? And, of course, and I should have mentioned that they were starting to do Bible studies with the other, you know, prisoners that were there, which was against all the rules, right? They certainly could have been killed if you know, they were caught doing this. And, you know, after they were released, all these different things, you know, they lived. And after everybody in that cell block 28 or cell 28 came to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And one of the sisters was like, you know, the one thing, like, praise God for everything that happened, for everybody who accepted Jesus, everybody who is now in a relationship with him and who will be with him for eternity. But the one question I will always ask is why the guards never came to cell 28. And they didn't come because of the fleas. They didn't come because they were afraid of the fleas of just getting infested all over them. So they never went, not one time did they go to cell 28. So when the sister says we need to give thanks in all circumstances, and we need to rejoice always, even rejoice and give thanks for the fleas, because that's what God put in place so they would then be able to reach everybody else in that prison, or at least in that area where they were at, in that concentration camp, for Jesus. I say that to say I'm giving thanks for no lights, for no TVs and no computers right now. So we need to hand our anxieties to the Prince of Peace. Anxious hearts are like tangled strings of lights. Anybody ever have tangled Christmas lights? How many, besides me, just say, you know what, I'm just going to throw these away and get a new one. Even though they all work, right? Like, no, I don't have the patience to deal with tangled up lights. No. That's what anxious hearts are like. And prayer is what untangles it. Prayer is what untangles those lights. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So peace guards the door and joy dances in the living room. Join God's mission. These are all different things that we can do, right, to focus on this. Join God's mission. Joy expands as it's shared. We've talked about this a lot over the past several months. Like, our whole purpose not only is to have a relationship with Jesus, grow our relationship with Jesus, but also to share that with other people, right? To bring the message beyond these four walls so other people can appreciate and recognize and the need for the same type of relationship that we have with Jesus. So join God's mission. The shepherds spread the word and return, glorifying and praising God. If joy feels thin, look for one person this week to serve and encourage. That's kind of been the theme over the past couple months. Right, I love this church. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful that even though we don't have a furnace going right now, it's still kind of warm, right? You might start to feel a little cool. But at least we're not out there, right? So I'm thankful for these walls, but I know that there are thousands of people beyond these walls that don't know who Jesus Christ is. And that's where we need to join his mission. Share your testimony. We all have a testimony. And I've told you this before. Even if you grew up in the church, right, even if you know nothing else but being in church every Sunday, perhaps every Wednesday, if that's all you know, you still have a testimony that will resonate with somebody. Because I promise you, even if you grew up in the church, you still had a struggle somewhere. You still have something that you can point to that there was no way I could have gotten through that if it wasn't for God. So I say, if you even grew up in the church, so I hear that a lot. You know, if people, well, I don't really have a testimony because I grew up in the church. Well, didn't your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister just beat almost certain death when they were diagnosed with cancer and now they're cancer free? You can't tell me that's not God. That's part of your testimony. Right? So there's so much that we have in our life that, you know, my testimony, I mean, it's pretty tumultuous and storied, right? And it resonates with a lot of people. And your testimony will resonate with a lot of people. So share it. Share it with others. So let's go back to Psalm 98. We're going to kind of recap Psalm 98, Luke 1, and John 1. So Psalm 98, joy is cosmic. Creation raised a chorus because God has acted and will act again. That should give you some excitement. This keeps us from small religion. This allows us to think big, to recognize the magnitude of God. Huge. When we sing on Sunday, we join oceans and rivers. In Luke 1, joy is personal and relational. It's personal and relational. A teenage girl walks into her cousin's home and the Holy Spirit fills the room. Joy leaps in a womb and praise erupts from a wise woman. Don't underestimate what can happen when we are carrying Jesus with us. John 1, the Word took on flesh, and from his fullness we receive. Joy is not a self-improvement plan. It is a person Jesus. Joy is Jesus. He's the reason that every carol tells every heart to prepare him room because of Jesus. You know, I read a study once that more people smile in the month of December. I don't disagree with that, perhaps, but there are certainly cookies. But I also know that the month fills some calendars with breaking and bank accounts that are dwindling down. You know, you can sing joy to the world while wrestling with a roll of wrapping paper that only tears at the angle. Who's ever done that, right? You try to cut it and then it just starts, like all of a sudden your brand new pair of scissors become the most dull things in the world and it just rips the paper all over the place. If that happens this week, remember that God's joy does not depend on your ability to fold the corners neatly of that package. His joy is for you for free as long as you accept it. Now, I haven't met a person who feels naturally joyful at 6 o'clock in the morning. Not even Genevieve. If we were in church, she might have done something. Joy is not caffeine. It's confidence in a king who was up before you and is still on the throne. So if you need caffeine, sip it to the glory of God. But recognize that we don't need anything to fill the joy that comes only through relationship with Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice." So you know that it's important. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then they say, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. So rejoice always in the Lord. So to those believers in the room, abide in his love. Ask the Spirit to restore you to the joy of salvation. And practice that obedience that is sometimes really, really difficult. Practice that obedience. To the weary, let the church carry a verse for you. Romans 5:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray that over you. Borrow some faith when yours is a little difficult. Everyone, yours. Hallelujah. Let's start over. I'm just kidding. Man, I'm about to pray. Pretty cool. Let heaven and nature sing. Isaac Watts wrote the carol as a paraphrase of Psalm 98. He pictured all creation swelling with joy at the king's coming and return. Now, imagine this. Waves slap the shore in applause. Cottonwoods clap their leaves and then fall on my lawn. Hills hum. At the center stands a manger that leads to a cross and an empty tomb. The note that began in Bethlehem still rings. The tuning fork of grace has been struck and hearts that touch the body of Christ begin to vibrate with joy. So let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And as we do, let us sing the Psalms refrain in our own words. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you. Thank you that in Jesus the Word became flesh and moved into our own neighborhoods. Lord, from his fullness we receive grace upon grace upon grace. Grow us, Lord, in spirit-born joy that sorrow can't steal and circumstances can't control. Lord, teach us to prepare him room, to serve others with gladness and to sing with creation as we wait for the King. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.